Over Friday night and Saturday, we were up in Hickory for a funeral and then for the concert for Lenore Ryan, and heard a wonderful concert and very enjoyable. While we were there, we went to out to eat at a Chick-fil-A one night, and we said grace as we sat to eat, and it reminded me of an old story about a Christian farmer who spent the day in the city, went to a diner to have his lunch, and he bowed his head and said his prayers. There was a young man, a group of young men sitting next to him, and they thought this was very amusing. Now, they didn't interrupt his prayers, but when he finished, they said, "Hey, old man, does everybody do that out where you live?" Old man very calmly and very respectfully replied, "No, son, the pigs don't." Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Today is about remembering, repenting, reclaiming the promise of God, and rehearsing living out God's will and grace and God's law and rule. Advent's a time of waiting and preparation. Our lessons, music, worship, focus on Christ's coming. We hear lessons that relate to that coming. One from Isaiah talks about the root of Jesse. And there is this image of the tree of life that was used a lot in the ancient world, not the tree of life as we think of it in terms of the Garden of Eden, but a tree of life that saw the king or the ruler as the root and the source of everything. And from that, we come to speak, some churches observe a Jesse tree, which has lots of symbols from the Old Testament that lead us to Christ as we come to Christmas. The idea that Jesus came from the root and stump of Jesse, and I always like to wear this little cross. Usually the crosses that clergy wear are fairly elaborate and substantial. This little cross was carved by a member of the congregation I served in China Grove. There was an old tree that had been with the church for maybe a century, and it finally got sick and died. He carved crosses from the wood of that tree and gave them to all the members of the congregation, either a cross they could wear or a small cross they could put on a shelf and keep in their home so that they had that reminder. And he was a craftsman and did all these for the congregation, gave them away. When I got there, that had happened several years earlier. He had a few left, and he gave my wife one for a shelf and gave me one to wear. And I wear that often when I preach. That reminds me that we're all tied to the past and to God's creation. It reminds me that we are connected to one another. And the images take us back to the Old Testament, to this idea of a tree of life, and the idea that Christ comes from the stump of that tree or the root of that tree and ties together the Old Testament and the New Testament in that understanding. Isaiah looked with hope for the future. And for us as Christians, when we read Isaiah's words, we see and understand Christ to be present in those words. And this passage from the gospel reminds us of God's work in the Old Testament. John's description very much reminds us of Elijah's description in the Old Testament. John's words are based on a promise in the Old Testament, a way being made in the wilderness for someone to come, the source of light, as you noted earlier. And Jesus, as a child of the light and the source of the light, calls us to live in that light. Paul's reading that we had this morning reminds us of how God works within his kingdom, works within his creation, and reminds us that Christ came not only for the Jews, not only for the Christians, but for all the world, for all of creation. In this season of Advent, of waiting and preparation, our music, our lessons, our worship focus on Christ's coming. We're called to prepare our hearts and minds for that coming. The thing is, we live in a world with lots of other issues and pressures. There are tensions in the world that sometimes distract us from the good news, whether that's international trade and those problems that it relates to, nuclear weapons and their spread, drug cartels and their violence, terrorism that strikes unexpectedly in large ways or small, the angry divide in our own nations, politics. All these that are going on around us create stress in our world and distract us from God's grace. On top of that, we have all the stresses of daily life, whether of illness, problems at our jobs and work, finances, family divisions, hurt feelings. So when we come to this holiday that celebrates all of the goodness of God's grace and mercy, sometimes people find it to be very emotional or stressful or even depressing as they struggle with these tensions and stresses in their life, especially when there are memories tied to it of those we love who have died and gone before, those we love who are sick, families that are divided either by division within the family or simply by distance in this modern world where people live oftentimes far away from those they love. These reminders tell us that life is transient and that suffering comes in the midst of life. But in the midst of that, we have God's love and God's promise. This season of preparation is intended to help us work through some of the challenges and difficulties and losses of life as we prepare our hearts and minds to celebrate the coming of Christ, to celebrate the promise that Christ will return, to celebrate even the promise that Christ comes to us each time we gather to hear His word and to share in His Holy Supper. The season has reminders. We look at the world and see reminders of buying and gift-giving and celebrating and partying and travel and all these things. But in the church, we have reminders of other things, of a better world, a world in which youth dream of peace, in which seniors dream with anticipation, perhaps, and see visions of those they love, of a world that might be yet, of those they someday hope to see again. All around us, those sights and sounds of Christmas, the ads, the lights, the decoration, the music, we enjoy those. I enjoy those, at least. I think many people do. Going out and seeing the lights and decorating for the season. But in the church, we have reminders of other things. We have Chrismon trees, and the Chrismon tree reminds us of God's work throughout the Old Testament that leads us to Christ. All those symbols relate to who Christ is and who Christ can be for us and for all people. They relate to God's love and how God's love was revealed throughout the history of the Old Testament. Our scenes of the crash remind us of a world that once was a world very different from ours, but a world that was in so many ways like ours. Those things that happened long ago, and yet we wait and hope and prepare for each year. Our lessons, our music, our liturgy focus on Christ's coming. We're called to prepare our hearts and minds for that coming. That coming of the baby Jesus again. That coming of Christ each time we gather to worship. That coming of Christ someday when Christ returns and gathers His people home. Our Advent music is celebratory, but it also is hopeful, and it's preparation. It's a little different from Christmas music. Some people find it hard to sing, but we only sing them a few times a year, so that's sometimes why it's not so easy to sing them as the other song. but they're intended to fill us with a vision of hope and anticipation of the season. And that hope and anticipation is one of a better world, where a wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and a little child shall lead them, and the lion shall eat straw like a fox. These images, they come straight out of the Garden of Eden. It's a passage that assures us that in the end, God triumphs. And in the end, God's ultimate will is accomplished despite the struggles in this life. Terrible things can happen. Violent acts by unstable people, gangs and illegal drugs and terrorism and war. We heard this week of the shooting at a military base. Hunger, homelessness, poverty, disease. Even newlyweds, a long way from home, with no place to stay, and a baby on the way. In the midst of life's journey, we're called to trust God, just as in the midst of their journey all those centuries ago, that young couple trusted God as they went into a place with no place to stay, no one waiting to receive them. They went as God called them to go, trusting and believing. The thing is, in the world we live in, there are lots of people who are waiting still, victims of war or torture or of economic injustice, victims of religious persecution, not just Christians, but Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, members of small sects like the Yazidis, who have ties to the Muslims but are seen by the Muslims as children of the devil. Sometimes persecution comes in unexpected ways, in surprising places. A Muslim writer who has worked for peace and argued and written for peace was recently labeled an Islamophobic by an organization that purports to identify hate groups. And yet he himself is Muslim. But he was calling for peace and for an end to violence and an end to terror. Whatever circumstances, all these people wait for hope, for safety and peace. Mary and Joseph waited because the baby had to be born into Bethlehem to fulfill the promise. We wait in our daily life, oftentimes. We wait for medical tests. We wait to get better. We wait to hear about a job we've applied for. We wait for friends to come. We wait until we get home to see our family. And there is a time for many of us when we wait indeed for death. In the midst of our life, waiting can be a blessing, as it was for them. As we wait to heal, we have time to reflect on our lives and what's truly important. As we wait for friends to come, we have time to prepare our homes and a meal. As we wait to see our family, we have time to pack and to remember and to plan. Even as we wait for death, we have time to prepare our heart, to repent, to say goodbye, to make amends as we return to God. As hard as it is to wait, we need to be thankful for times of waiting. If nothing else, at least perhaps it teaches us patience. Waiting, even for Christmas, though, is not to be a time of idleness, spiritual idleness especially, but rather faithfulness. Time we set aside to pray and to reflect on our life. Time we set aside to reflect on God's grace in our life. Time to witness to our faith, whether it's in sharing our material blessings through a program in schools or through a community kitchen or shelter, whether it's to share our time with someone who is sick or in the hospital, whether it's to share an ear for someone who is dealing with a crisis or a broken relationship. The church exists to serve Christ and others. Our focus should always be on the great commandment to love one another and the great commission to share the good news. Advent is a time to purify our hearts and strengthen our faith so that we can be ready fully to welcome Christ. We need to prepare so that we are ready for the baby's birth, for Christ's presence in word and sacrament, for Christ's return, and our own rebirth into a new life. We need to live out our hope and be led by the compassion that Jesus taught us. Advent reminds us that in the end, God triumphs. In the end, God's ultimate will is accomplished. The fulfillment of prophecies will come. Certainly, terrible things happen in this world, but also much that is good and much joy and many opportunities to share the good in our lives with those around us. In the midst of our life's journey, on the good days and bad, we're called to trust God, just as in the midst of that journey long ago, Mary and Joseph trusted God. They believed that God in the end would fulfill his promise. But they had to wait. The time had to be fulfilled. The baby had to be born in Bethlehem. So we too wait. But in this time of waiting, we are called to be thankful. We are called to look to who we are called to be and strive to live as Christ would have us live, to witness to the faith we share, to allow our spirits to heal from sorrows and losses in life, to seek to heal broken relationships, to seek to grow closer to God and to all those around us. We need to prepare so that we're ready for the baby's birth and our own rebirth. We need to look for and see signs of hope, even in the midst of struggles in life. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for in this season and in your life? And even on this day, what are you waiting for? Amen. Mm-hmm.